Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
This morning, I've got a very simple, foundational kind of message because it's so important that we not only know the basic and foundational things, but we are living in the good of them. And this is particularly the case because of what God is calling us to do now in terms of pushing back the powers of darkness and seeing more and more people rescued and brought into the glory of His light. Did somebody say hallelujah? Okay, so I'm going to read from Colossians chapter 1, beginning at verse 9. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Now there's so much contained in just those few verses as to what God wants to see reproduced in our lives. I'm going to begin with the last phrase, the forgiveness of sins. In our whole walk of faith, our confidence before God begins with knowing that we are completely and freely forgiven. Now, we might know that in our heads, but that doesn't always mean that that's the attitude that we have in our thinking and in our hearts. When Paul's writing to the Ephesians, he says that what God has done is to make us holy and blameless in God's sight. Now, to be blameless is what it means to be forgiven. That God has done such a remarkable and thorough work of forgiveness through all that Jesus did on the cross, that when God looks upon us, He sees us without any blame, without any guilt whatsoever. Now, why this is important is if we're going to be effective in coming against the powers of darkness, we have got to have that confidence to believe that the authority that Jesus says we have, we do actually have, and that we are able to exercise that authority and cause the powers of darkness to retreat. You know, there are just as many demons at work here as there are in Africa. They're just concealed and not quite so obvious. People don't realize that so much that goes on around us in our society is demonic. It is the work of the way that demonic powers are influencing the lives of people. But just knowing that doesn't help unless we can exercise the authority to see people liberated and set free. So, God has done such a thorough work of forgiveness that we will not be deceived by any lies of the enemy. You remember that one of the things that the Scripture says about the devil is that he's the accuser of the brethren. Now, that means he's the accuser of believers. He's the accuser of Christians. He will stand on any ground that we give him, any area of sin or disobedience, to accuse us and to try to make us feel guilty and condemned so that we don't have confidence before God, and we certainly don't have the confidence to overcome the enemy. If we give him ground on which to stand, then obviously that is going to make us less effective in the exercising of authority over the enemy. We can hardly exercise that authority if we give him ground in our lives ourselves. Did somebody say amen?
Amen.
Okay. So we don't want to give the enemy any ground. But it's not just that there may be areas of darkness, of sin, of disobedience in our lives that would have that effect. But also the enemy, being a liar, accuses falsely. And one of the ways in which he does that is to suggest that if there is any imperfection in our lives, we cannot exercise authority over him. Now, you see, that seems to contradict what I've just said. So you need to listen very carefully so you don't get confused. We don't knowingly want to give any ground to the enemy. But that doesn't mean that we're living in perfection. But we don't have to be living in perfection before we can exercise authority over the enemy. So we don't want to give him any ground. We don't want to give him any cause to rejoice over us. But even though we may not, as we look at ourselves, know that we're living in perfection, yet, you see, because of the blood of Jesus, we are made holy, we are made blameless, we are made perfect in the sight of God, and therefore before the enemy. You know, you've probably heard me say before, sometimes the enemy may say to me, "You got that wrong." And I say, "Devil, you're absolutely right, I got it wrong. But there's one difference between you and me. I'm forgiven, you're not, so goodbye." See? This is the point. There's no forgiveness for the devil. He has already been judged and condemned, and he's on death row. And when Jesus comes again, then he will be cast into the lake of fire, and that will be the end of that. But from this time, he has no right to accuse us. Jesus says that if we believe in him, we have passed from death to life, and there is no condemnation for us. And Paul reiterates this. He said, for those who are in Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation. So even if there is stuff that is not right and not fully in accord with the will of God, there is still no condemnation. So we're not going to listen to any of his lies and accusations to say, "You're condemned, you can't exercise authority over me or over the powers of darkness because you are not yet perfect." Your answer to that is, "I am made perfect, I am made blameless, I am made holy before God. His forgiveness is so thorough that I'm squeaky clean. Amen. I am washed by the blood of Jesus. If I'm washed by the blood of Jesus, there is no impediment that is left. I am thoroughly 100% made holy, blameless, clean in his sight." Somebody say hallelujah. See, this is the basic truth of the gospel. But knowing it isn't the same as believing it and therefore living in the good of it and living with a sense of total freedom. And the enemy, being a deceiver, tries to get up to all kinds of things, like suggesting, "Well, there's sickness in your life, and that sickness must mean there's something wrong, or you haven't been fully healed by God yet, so you're not going to have authority, you're not going to have power. Look, there isn't even the power of God in your own body in the way that you want." He's a liar. This has got nothing to do with sickness or any impediment of that kind. It's got absolutely nothing to do with that. Jesus has given us authority over all the power of the evil one. He tells us that whatever we bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth is loosed in heaven. Amen? The scripture says he's already disarmed all the demonic powers that oppose us. There's nothing here to do with sickness or any other thing that may be happening in our lives when we're in positions of challenge and so on. Because often we are. Our faith, the testing of our faith proves that it's genuine. So it's very important that we keep hold of the truth. Why? Because it's knowing the truth that sets us free. But it's walking in that truth that enables us to have victory over the enemy. You see, the enemy has got one simple device. Look at yourself. That's all he has to do to undermine the confidence and undermine the faith of the majority of Christians. Just look at yourself. Look at what is going on. What does the scripture say? Fix your eyes on Jesus. Could I suggest that Jesus is a much more exciting proposition than you are? And you'll get on much better by looking at Jesus than looking at yourself. In fact, the scripture is very clear that we're not to analyze ourselves or even to search ourselves. The only way in which we're to search ourselves, according to scripture, is to see that we're in the faith. Amen? What God wants us to do is to see ourselves as he has made us. That despite our weakness, despite failure, despite sometimes we sin, despite areas of disobedience, he has made us holy, blameless, without condemnation in his sight. We stand not on the enemy's ground of lies and deception, but we stand on the ground of faith in the truth. Amen? So we have the power and the authority to stand against the enemy. Okay, that begins in our own lives. I'm going to read a section from Ephesians in the Truth Version. It's from Ephesians chapter 4. Paul has just talked about the fivefold ministry of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers. And he says this, all these various ministries have a common purpose. They are to prepare God's people to serve him, happily doing the works God prepared for them. This is what will enable the body of Christ to be built up in the way he desires and will bring people into unity in their faith, sharing in a common knowledge and experience of God's Son. Having servant hearts shows that people are mature in their life in Christ. Now just hold on to this word mature for a moment. So having servant hearts show that people are mature in their life in Christ and that they are able to enjoy everything God has made available to us in him, the fullness of his life that he came to impart. So God wants us to see that maturity in our lives spiritually. That's got nothing to do with how long we've been Christians. You can have a new Christian that is living a very mature spiritual life because of his faith. What God wants is that maturity to believe that we can live in the fullness of the life he's made available to us because there's nothing to hinder or prevent us from doing that. Amen. If you don't say it, I'll say it for you. Amen. Paul then says this, those who are mature in this way will no longer be like immature toddlers, easily swayed and pulled this way and that. They will not be like corks bobbing about on the sea or like falling leaves that are at the mercy of any wind that blows them around. Immature people are like that because they do not have a grasp of the truth of God's word. So they are easily swayed by the latest fashion in spiritual teaching. Then Paul goes on to say this, the mature are not like that. They're not getting blown around by every fashion, by what other people are saying. They hold fast to the truth of God's word. So the mature are not like that. They speak the truth to others. Now, here's the point. You can only live in the truth by speaking the truth to others. In the letter to Philemon, that little letter that Paul wrote, in verse 6, it says, I pray that you'll be active in sharing your faith so that you come to a good understanding of every good thing that we have in Christ. It's as we speak out and declare that actually the truth takes a greater grasp on our own hearts. I tell the students, you know, get some practice at doing that. If there's nobody around to practice to, practice to the one you see in the mirror, because that person sure needs to hear it. And you know that you've really reached maturity when the one you see in the mirror answers back and says, hallelujah. Okay, so the mature are not like that. They're not getting easily swayed by what others are saying or by what the enemy is accusing and the lies that he is making. They speak the truth to others out of love for them and therefore in a loving way. They are believers who keep growing in their faith, becoming more and more like Christ, who is the head of the body to which they belong. From him, the head, the whole body is to draw together in unity. Every part is to fulfill its function in love for the health of the whole body. And this is accomplished by each fulfilling the work Christ has appointed for him or her. So God has appointed work for every one of us. Every one of you who's here this morning, God has his plan, God has his purpose, God has a work for you to fulfill. Not to be saved, but because you are saved. In the body of Christ, there are no passengers, there are only workers. No, I can remember once I was speaking at a meeting where there were thousands of people, and I said, stand up, all the Christian workers. You see, so the pastors and people in full-time ministry stood up. So I then said, stand up, all the Christian workers. And a few more people stood up. So I said again, stand up, all the Christian workers. And I kept saying it till everybody was on their feet. They got the point. So if I was to say, stand up, Christian workers, well, I've left you sitting down for 10 minutes. Praise God. Okay, so you know you're a worker. Now, if you're a worker, you don't have to fulfill the task that God has appointed for someone else. You only have to fulfill the task that God has for you. But in his wisdom, because he knows how to organize things, God makes the callings of each one of us complementary. He knows that the body will be built up if everybody is fulfilling the particular work or function to which he's calling that person. So he doesn't ask you to imitate others or to be like or to follow what others are doing, but to be true to what God asks of you. And it's important, isn't it, that we therefore are able to identify what our particular calling is. But then, of course, to put it into action. And that's why God has given us the Holy Spirit. He hasn't given you the Holy Spirit to do what others are doing. He's given you the Holy Spirit to do what God is calling you to do. However, there are some things that he wants all of us to do together because we are one body. And that's why in his unfolding purposes, he has, if you like, seasons. There are times when he puts before us a particular thing that we are to do as a body. And no matter what our specific functions are and the work that we are doing sort of day by day for the kingdom of God, because we're part of the body, we all participate in that corporate function. Now, the corporate thing that he's telling us at present is to be the light that overcomes the darkness. So we are to come against the powers of darkness that are holding many people in bondage. Now, we pray constantly for people to be saved and brought out of darkness into light. But what he's telling us to do now is to take authority over those whom the enemy is using to keep people in bondage or to put them in darkness. Because it's one thing, it's good to see some people saved out of darkness, but if actually we can see people that are causing people to live in darkness, if we can see them coming to the Lord, that's going to be far more effective and will actually lead to more people being released from the bondages in which they're living now and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God.
Amen.
It's a good strategy.
Yes, amen.
Amen. And God has given to all of us, to every believer, the authority to do that. So that's why God says to us, okay, the people of light can overcome the darkness. So the scripture says, you are the children of light. Right? Not the children of twilight, but the children of light. And if there's any darkness, the enemy is defeated. He's not going to be able to accuse us or to rob us of confidence or to undermine our ability to exercise authority over him because of the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus cleanses us. The blood of Jesus makes us whole, makes us holy, makes us blameless in his sight. The blood of Jesus has disarmed the devil and all the principalities and powers of darkness. So it's in the power of the blood, not in our own holiness. Do you remember when Peter and John healed the cripple at the temple gate in John chapter 3? It created quite a stir. And of course, the people wanted to start to idolize Peter and John because they'd been used to do such a great thing. And Peter sort of hushes the crowd and he says, look, what makes you think that this could have happened through any holiness of our own? It's got nothing to do with any holiness of our own. This miracle has happened through Jesus and the faith that comes through him. The name of Jesus and the faith that comes through him.
Amen.
And this is the point. Because we are his children, because God has taken us out of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of light, as we read at the beginning, we can walk in the light as the children of light. And we can bring that light wherever there is darkness. And where the light shines in darkness, the light always wins.
That's right. That's right.
Darkness can't overcome the light, but the light always overcomes the darkness.
Yes.
The only way that darkness can overcome the light is if you switch off the light. Hello?
Yes.
But we're not going to switch off the light. In fact, we're going to shine ever more brightly. Why? Because God is transforming us into his likeness with ever-increasing glory. And the light is the light of his glory. So there's going to be more and more and more light shining out of our lives. You know why? Because we're no longer going to sit back and just complain about what's happening in the world around us. We're going to do something about it. We're going to come against the powers and darkness that are having a whale of a time out there. And the devil's not going to be very happy, but there's nothing he can do about it. Because we are actually proclaiming the victory that Jesus has already won on the cross.
Yes.
Do we have any believers here this morning?
Amen.
So this is exciting. We're going to fulfill the work that God has for each one of us, but we're going to be united in doing what he's telling us to do now to overcome the enemy. On Wednesday, we had an aggressive time of prayer.
Yes.
Finally, we had to stir things up a bit, but then that's what the scripture says, stir up the gift that is within you. Amen? But, you know, that's to me, that was a prayer meeting. That was what a prayer meeting should be like, where we're not just standing around in little groups listening to each other pray nice words, but we're actually encountering God and coming against the not only the enemy, but the situations where the release of God is needed, where we need to see faith operating and things being transformed as a result. And you don't get that kind of effect through praying just sort of nice prayers. It's what does the scripture say? The fervent prayers of the righteous avail much. Fervent prayer. God needs to know you mean it, and you're not going to take no for an answer. That's fervent prayer. It's determined prayer. Amen? And actually, that's also needed in our worship. We need a new determination in our worship. I was listening to the worship at the beginning this morning, and I think, come on, where are you? Where is everybody? It seemed, you know, as if it was, whole thing was muted. Well, according to my Bible, in heaven they praise God with a loud voice. The whole heavenly praises him with a loud voice. If you're going to heaven for a place of peace and quiet, you're going to the wrong place. If you want peace and quiet, you better go to the other place, because there's no praise going on there. But if you want to go to heaven, it's noisy all the time, day and night. You might think the drums are noisy here. That's nothing compared with heaven. Hallelujah. God's just getting you ready here. So I know some of you think worship is a bit loud. Well, no, it's not loud enough. Because it's not what goes on up here. If there was more noise down here, you wouldn't hear what's going on up here. Hello? I mean, you should be trying to drown these guys out. So it wouldn't matter whether they were playing or whether they're not playing, because you're just getting hold of God, and God's getting hold of you, and you're encountering him, and there's so much in your heart to say, oh Lord, you're just so great, you're so wonderful, you're so mighty. I mean, it's not the words of the songs, is it? It's what's in your heart. Anybody can read words off a screen, but oh, God just wants to see hearts on fire with love for him and praise for him and wanting to give him glory and honor and praise. Oh, hallelujah. I'm not complaining, I'm encouraging. Amen? We have to encourage the brethren. So, we've got a whole lot within us that we're not expressing yet. Because according to my Bible, we have this fullness of the life of Christ himself. And this is the point, you see. When you come against the enemy, is it you coming against the enemy or Christ in you? See, if it's Christ in you, there's absolutely no doubt about the outcome. If it's you, because Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. But we're not apart from him. We're living in him. We're completely and freely forgiven. Hallelujah. We're made holy, blameless in his sight, but it's not a holiness of our own, it's his holiness. It's his blamelessness. It's his righteousness. It's his authority. It's his power. It's Christ in us. And the glorious thing is this, that God has chosen to bring his kingdom purposes to effect on the earth through imperfect people, because he hasn't got any perfect ones to work with. He's only got others like us. See? So he makes us perfect through the blood of Jesus. He washes us clean. He fills us with the anointing of his Spirit. He gives us all the authority and the power we need. And he says, get on with it. Don't just sit back and be a victim. Rise up and be a victor. And you see, this is the point. You can easily especially if there's some issue in your life that's been going on for a while, get into a victim mentality. And, you know, often that's the case with sickness, infirmities of a different kind. And so many Christians are trying to get the sickness out of their bodies, and they don't realize actually the sickness has got into their spirit. They've got to get it out of their spirit before they're going to see their body free, completely free. Can you understand what I mean? You see, if we think of ourselves as sick people instead of as the whole healed people that Jesus sees us because of all that Jesus has done for us on the cross, then we are deceiving ourselves. Because we're not actually thinking in word attitude. Are you at the same meeting that I'm at here? Yeah. So, you know, let's get the wrong thinking out. You're not a sick person, you're a child of God. Now, children of God may get sick, but that's not your identity. Your identity is a child of God. Your identity is one who is made holy, made blameless, healed by the stripes of Jesus. This is your identity. So God wants you to think of yourself. This is basic. This is the basic gospel, right? Once I was, but now I am. And I don't look back to what I was, because God tells us not to look back. He who looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. So we are looking to the future. But in the present, we're living in the good of everything that He has done and made for us. I'm having to do your part as well as my part this morning. That's not fair. So we're going to become more and more mature, aren't we? Not thinking like the immature that get, you know, swayed by the way they feel and by the way they think and by the things that happen. No, 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 no. Paul says that's the immature do that. They get blown about like leaves in a wind, or tossed about like a cork on the sea. No, 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 we're not like that. We're not the victim of circumstances. We're the one to whom God has given the authority over the circumstances to see circumstances change. But you see, we can't pray one thing but be thinking another. So the right praying has to come out of right thinking, and the right thinking comes out of right believing. Are we there? Praise God. So, there are multitudes of people out there. I mean, countless numbers. God has spoken to us about 5,000 families. But what happens amongst us here could affect far more than 5,000 families. You know, last Sunday I went to preach in the church in Luton where the revival happened in 1970, the first half of the 70s. And that was because they have a prophetic word that's been given to reopen the wells that were dug. So I went to tell them about the wells that were dug. But you see, the truth of the matter is, we were a congregation of a few hundred people, okay? Not a big congregation at all, because we wouldn't allow anybody that came and met with the Lord to join our church. We sent them back to other churches unless they actually lived within our parish. So, because we wanted the move of God to spread. We didn't want to just accumulate people. So,
actually what happened is through the faithfulness and obedience of that small number of people, literally thousands, tens of thousands, probably hundreds of thousands of people have come to the Lord, been filled with the Spirit and healed. Now that's no exaggeration, because of what happened in that place. I'm not going to go into any details about how all that's happened, but it's happened. Now, at the time, we had no idea that that's what the impact was going to be. All we were concerned to do was to be faithful to what God was asking of us. And that's all we have to do. If we're faithful in asking what God is doing of us, He then has the freedom to use that as extensively as He pleases. But it's no use us having big ideas of how God is going to use us unless we're faithful in doing what He asks of us. So, His word to us now is about pushing back the powers of darkness. So that's why when we come together to pray, we all need to be there to pray, because this is God's word for the whole body. Amen. And things like that, you see, can only be done corporately. Yes. Right. You, just as an individual, are not going to be very effective in pushing back the powers of darkness in Horsham. But get a number of people together, praying together, believing together, coming against the enemy together, and that's powerful. An army wouldn't go into battle with one soldier. Now, each soldier has his part to play, right? But you say, well, if we're going to win the battle, we need to get all the troops. So we're all involved in this together. So it's not just a question of what you do on your own. But what every soldier needs is to be fit and trained. I don't mean physically fit, but spiritually fit. Ready for the battle. Because we've got to fight the good fight of faith. Amen? So, how do we get ready? By simply putting this word this morning into practice. Well, I'm not going to be blown around in my thinking by any emotions or circumstances. I'm holding fast to what God says. I'm not going to listen to any lies and accusations of the devil. I'm believing what God has made me. My faith is in the blood of Jesus. That blood covers my sin, my failure, any area of disobedience. Right? I understand that if I'm going to be effective in overcoming darkness, then I need to walk in the light. And therefore, I don't want to walk in any deliberate darkness, in any deliberate sin or deliberate disobedience. But I recognize that I still do not live in perfection. The blood of Jesus covers all my imperfections. The blood of Jesus washes me and makes me clean. The blood of Jesus enables me to come before God with confidence, because the scripture says I'm to come right before the throne of grace with confidence. Amen? But it also means I can have confidence against the enemy. So, together we will push back the powers of darkness over Horsham and over this whole area. I'll try that once more. Together we will push back the powers of darkness over Horsham and this area. Individually and personally, the devil's had his day in your life and he's not going to have any more influence. Amen? You just let him know that. No more am I going to listen. No more am I going to listen to any of your lies, to any of your deception, to any of your accusations. I'm no longer going to listen to any of those thoughts that makes me look upon myself and feel bad about myself. I'm looking at myself in Christ. I'm going to feel good about myself because I'm in Him. And I'm not going to listen to those lies that I cannot exercise faith over him because I'm not yet living in perfection. I am made perfect in Christ. I have the authority that Jesus Christ has given me. I'm coming against him in my personal life. So I'm serving notice on all the powers of darkness. You've had it. No more. No more. I said no more. Let your mind be renewed so you know the good, acceptable, perfect will of God. So shall we have some victory now? You know, I've been saying to God these last few weeks, oh, Lord, you know, I'm ready to see so much more healing. And it's, you know, we see people being healed now, but, you know, there's much more, isn't there? Like, I'd love to see a move of God. And, you know, God wants that more than I do.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
And, you know, I've been saying, Lord, I'm ready. I'm ready. Because, you know, I've seen periods of time and we've seen much, much more healing than we're seeing at present. So I'm ready. And you know, God has his timing in these things because he has to get us all ready. And I believe that what he's talking to us about this morning is a key to that. He's saying, okay, you want to see that. Understand then that this is going to come out of your victory over the enemy who causes sickness. Over the powers of darkness that lie behind so much infirmity. Amen? So let's get to our feet. What can God do in 5 minutes? The miraculous. What can happen in 5 minutes? Powers of darkness can be defeated. The enemy can be pulled down. Are you ready? So first of all, just focus on Jesus. We don't focus on the enemy. We focus on Jesus. Now I want you to thank him with all your... This is fervent prayer. Right, are you ready for fervent prayer? We just want 5 minutes of fervent prayer before you go home. Is that all right? Okay, well, fervently thank him for the blood. I mean, really thank him for the blood. Really, really. Thank him for the blood. Oh, hallelujah. Thank him that you're forgiven. You are free from all sin and guilt. Hallelujah. Come on, come on. Thank him, thank him, thank him. Completely, freely, fully forgiven. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Pa-pa-pa-pa-ra-sa-ta pa-ka-ra-sam-dam. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Poparazandaria leruba karasito. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Thank him that he's made you blameless, holy, made perfect in his sight, because that blood washes every imperfection. Oh, hallelujah. Puparasata parasandaria lero bakarasandama. Oh, rata paparia lero bakarasidaba. Oh, hallelujah. Now,
If you've fallen foul of that temptation to keep looking at yourself, just say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for keep looking at myself and having a low self-esteem because I don't believe what your word says or I haven't been walking in that faith. Lord, forgive me if I've been listening to the lies and accusations of the enemy, wanting to accuse me, wanting to make me feel condemned, because there's no condemnation for me because I'm living in Christ. It's all lies, it's all lies, it's all lies. And I'm not going to listen to any more lies. The liar is not going to have any more influence in my life. Come on, tell the Lord that. Tell the Lord, I'm not going to allow the liar to have any more influence in my life. I'm not going to listen to the voice of the deceiver. I'm going to listen to your word. I'm going to listen to your voice. Come on, tell him, be fervent, be fervent, be fervent. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, some people are going to get victory now in the, for their health because you've been praying for healing, but you haven't been praying against the things, the spiritual powers of darkness that have been behind so many of the afflictions that have come upon people. So in the name of Jesus, we are going to come against every spirit of infirmity. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to get some victory in this room right now. Right now, over those spirits of infirmity. In the name of Jesus, we come against every spirit of infirmity that in any way is afflicting any child of God in this place. We bind you, we tell you, you have no further influence over the life of anyone in this room. We command that you go to hell where you belong. Never, ever to return. Oh, hallelujah. Every spirit of infirmity, get out of this place. Now lift your hands and just receive the healing of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The powers of darkness are not going to have any further grip over our lives. Oh, you saved us from that. And thank you, Lord, that you pour forth fresh anointing now, a fresh empowering of your Holy Spirit upon us. Thank you, Lord, for fresh release of your healing grace in our lives. Thank you, Lord. You don't put the light on top of the darkness. You get rid of the darkness and then fill us with the light. So thank you, Lord, you've set us free from the darkness, and now you flood us with your light in our spirits, in our minds, in our emotions, in our bodies. Flood us with your light, Lord Jesus. Be glorified in every single one of us. Come on, now praise him fervently. Praise him fervently. Thank him fervently. Come on, there's no mealy-mouthed prayer going on in this place. It's fervent prayer. It's the fervent prayer of the righteous. He's made you righteous. Now you pray fervently and your prayer avails much. In other words, it works. Hallelujah. 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 Puppara sandaria leroba kara sandaria leroba. Woo! Now thank the Lord that you have the shield of faith that quenches every fiery dart of the enemy. Thank the Lord that it doesn't matter what the devil fires at you, it's not going to get through your shield of faith. Nothing is going to penetrate your shield of faith. Oh, thank you, Lord. All those fiery darts will just be extinguished. None of them will get through. None of them. Come on. Come on. Really affirm that. No, no, no. No dart from the enemy. No lie from the enemy. no accusation from the enemy is going to get through to me. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, thank him, thank him, thank him. Now thank him that you have the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Thank you that the sword cuts the head off every demon. I mean, it's great. It's great. There's the powers of darkness. You know, there's aggression in all of us. But, you know, we have to be nice to everybody except the devil and his works. That's where you get all the aggression out of you. Say, you demons, we just behead you in the name of Jesus. You're going to have no further influence here. And we just take authority now in the name of Jesus over every demonic power that has sought to bring division, that has sought to separate people from the body to which they belong. We tell you, we serve you notice. No more. No more. The spirit of unity. Come on, lift your hands now. The spirit of unity is upon this body. The spirit of unity. We will love one another. We will be faithful to one another. We will serve one another. We will move forward as each fulfills the work to which God has called him. Come on, come on, come on. Oh, give him glory. Give him glory. We are going forward together. We're taking ground for the kingdom of God. The devil is in retreat. We are advancing. We're on the move. We're on the march. Come on. Oh, wonderful Jesus. Woo. I tell you, church is going to get more and more exciting in the weeks ahead. Every week when you come here, there's going to be more victory. Every week there's going to be more overcoming. Every week there's going to be more healings. Every week more people are going to get delivered from the enemy. More and more people are going to come because of what God is going to be doing here. Every week, week on, week out. Yes, 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 week in, week out. Come on, come on, come on. Let's thank him. Let's thank Jesus. We praise you, Lord. We bless you, Jesus. Oh, what a privilege to belong to this body. What a privilege to belong to you. What a privilege to be part of a people that are on the move with you, Lord. We are moving forward. We are taking ground. Hallelujah. Horsham is going to be shaken by the gospel. Horsham is going to be set free from so many things. One last thing. Can you manage one more? I've been told that all over Horsham, there's been an outbreak of people having cars broken into and houses broken into. Thieving. Well, the enemy is a thief. But we're going to make Horsham a crime-free zone. You know, there used to be a whole lot of break-ins on this industrial estate until the church planted here. Then all the break-ins stopped all around. The police told us that at the time. They said, it's amazing, ever since the church is here, all that stopped. But we're in this town. Come on, come on, let's lift our voices now. In the name of Jesus, we bind that thief and that spirit of thievery and all those that have been under the influence of that. And we tell you, your time is now up. We now bind you and we restrict you. You have to leave this whole area now. We are not going to see our town subject to a rash of crime in the name of Jesus. We're not going to have any more stabbings in the name of Jesus. We're not going to have any more suicides in the name of Jesus. Come on, come on. We are in control. We are in charge. The government is upon Jesus' shoulders. And we are ruling and reigning in his name. Can we all just have a great shout of praise?
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.